called the game. And my department or illness here, it's just an old field with three games on it. So don't worry about that yet. Don't even think about it. So we are using an analogy, a metaphor of the game of sport to explore Christianity. And over the course of five sermons, the next four, this one includes the next 4 weeks, just, I want us to explore our following of Jesus, our journey of discipleship by means of this metaphor called the game. The game of sport, any sport. And my hope is that this will give us an easy category to arrange our thinking patterns in when we are thinking about our own discipleship journey. When we are thinking about our strategy of outreach, on how we do fellowship as a community of followers of Jesus Christ. And in the same way as I spoke 2 years ago about follow, believe, obey, given the category of thinking of our journey, where we are, where people are, this, the purpose of this metaphor is also to help us integrate our thinking of the discipleship journey, which is a complex thing, it's a complex idea. And in this way, we try to create a metaphor for thinking about this. Now, with metaphors and metaphor, a lot of things in your metaphor is exactly like that, but also a lot of things that you are trying to describe is not like the metaphor. So there's always a bunch of things that are excluded in the metaphor. Nonetheless, so last week, it's just a block with three pins on it. It's like a Rubik's Cube with a pin and a pin and a pin. It's like, yeah, it'll go away. So forget about that block. Forget that you've ever seen it. If you see it on the bulletin board, don't even look at it. So, as I said last week, the series, the game, comes with a disclaimer that it's not just a game. Because whenever we use a metaphor, there's always the danger of thinking about what we're trying to highlight only in that metaphor. And when we're thinking about the game, we know it's not just a game. Even though we explored using the metaphor for the game, this is not a game. This is about life. This is real. This is about the very thing that determines our life outcome. Our journey with Jesus. All the way till we meet God face to face in heaven one day. So, it is not just a game. Last week, we spoke about part one. The rules are for the players. And we asked, what is the purpose of rules in any sport? So, rules provide an agreement of understanding for the specific game. It gives structure to the sport you are playing. It enables sports to be played smoothly. It ensures the safety of all the players, of the participants. The rules are for those people actively involved in that sport. The rules are for the players, those who are already playing this game. So if you want to play a specific game, you play by the rules of that game. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to play this game, you follow His rules. If you play hockey, it's hockey rules. If you play soccer, it's soccer rules. If you are following Jesus, it's following Jesus' rules, made by Jesus. And you know what? We don't get to make up the rules as we go. We don't get to change the rules as we go. Just because it's tough, it becomes tough at one stage playing the game, it becomes tough scoring, or succeeding rather, you don't get to change the rules. The rules have been made. You said you wanted to play, and you know the rules. So we have to play by the rules. And we were reminded that we will never win over people to follow Jesus by telling them to keep our rules. Which is a major pitfall. We love doing that. We think we'll get people to follow Jesus by trying to have them keep the rules. Going around telling people to keep Jesus' rules is never a good missional strategy. It won't work. Because not doing what Jesus wants them to do is not the problem those people have, people that aren't following Jesus. They have a bigger problem. The problem is not believing in Jesus. So the problem is not doing something that Jesus said they shouldn't do. The problem is that they don't believe in Jesus. That is the bigger problem. This is a sin. Not following the rules. So in the passage of scripture that we read that the rules are for the players. Because Jesus said, if you love me, if you're already playing my game, if you love me, follow my rules. Keep my commands. Whoever keep my commands, and whoever has my commands will keep them, is the one who loves me. So we try to win at the game while following the rules. We try to be the best followers of Jesus we can. We try to love Jesus as much as we can. And if we want to do that, we have to follow the rules. We have to follow Jesus. Because after all, these rules are for these players. These games, these rules. And then I told someone in the last week that this means that we will never win over people by telling them to keep the rules. We need them to get into the game first. So I had to ask myself the first one to do this. Before we get to that stage where we can tell people, we need to keep the rules of the game, we need to get them in the game first. Let me explain. It won't work telling people to keep the rules, but they won't start playing my game. If I want you to start playing cricket, would you have seen cricket? It's not that. The one you grasp, like the game. I can't even make that picture if you can. Oh, who was that? That was good. Oh, can you do it again? Oh, yes, you actually can. Good job. So, if I want you to come and play a game of cricket with me, this is my strategy. I will tell you the rules. And then I will see how many you want to play. I want you to play cricket for you. This is what cricket is. You have two sides. One out in the field and one in. Each man that's in the side that's in goes out. And when he's out, he comes in. And the next man goes in until he's out. When they're all out, the side that's out comes in. And the side that has been in goes out and tries to get those coming in out. Sometimes you get men still in and not out. When a man goes out to go in, the men who are out try to get him out. And when he is out, he goes in, and the next man in goes out, and he goes in. There are two men called umpires who stay out all the time, and they decide when the men who are in are out. When both sides have been in and all the men have been out, and both sides have been out twice, after all the men have been in, including those who are not out, that is the end of the game. Sounds like fun! Anybody want to be cricket? Anybody want to meet me after coffee hour? Why not explain the rules to you? This is actually a joke called How to Explain Cricket to Americans. The first time I read it years ago, it took me a while to understand it. Like, for every sentence, I have to say, yeah, that's correct, and then, but this is it. It actually works like this. This is the rules of cricket. We've got six Pakistani guys that moved into town. One of them has been attending church in town today. They live on Main Street. So, in the summertime, I will go and play some cricket with them because they also love cricket. But there's none of you that feel the urge to come and play this game with me? But say, I get you to play first. I give you a bat in hand, and I throw a few balls at you. I'm not getting better in the weekend. I give you a bat in the hand. And I put the wickets up there. I give you a bat. throwing the ball at you, you need to be bold, just like this. Like a windmill pitch, the other way. So at first, I'll throw the ball at you. I'll give you a bat. Flat bat, that wide with a long handle. I'll give you the bat. I'll stand there. And I tell you, now, whatever you do, this chair, this is the wicket. You know, when we see sticks in the ground. So, that. But when kids play, they play with anything from an apple box, a chair, a big garbage can. So, if I give you a bat in hand, whatever you do, don't let me, standing there with balls, keep this chair when I throw it at you. Keep it away with the bat. Get it away. Just don't let it hit it. Because if that gets hit, you're finished. You can't afford it. You are out. So start throwing it. Well, and I sometimes use my body with it. Get it away, that way. Oh, this one's coming high. So just get it. That way. It's fun. Now, after a while, I will tell you, if you hit it far enough, if the ball goes far, say we've got a couple of guys playing, people playing, and you go past them, it's far enough, and you can make it all the way to where I am standing. So, say I'm standing halfway down this aisle. If you can make it there before somebody throws the ball at me that side or this side, do that, because then you get 1 point. So the next time, you're not going to get my chair. Or, you know, that will be far. But 1 point. It's becoming fun now. After a while, I will tell you, you've done this for a while. Okay, now I'm going to throw a bit harder. I'm not going to get my chair. One there, and back. After a while, I'll tell you, you know what, when you're actually playing a game, there's two people, one is standing this side, and one is standing at the spot where I'm throwing from, where I'm bowling from. So when you run that way, he needs to run this way. So if you just run 1 point, one run, he gets a chance to take the chair, to bat. And then when you just can run that distance, he's free. And you can carry on playing until we eat your chair. Oh, I can do that. Woo! It's fun. After a while, after catching two balls out of the air, I'll tell you. Now, there's another way that we can get you to stop playing, to get you out. That's if we catch the ball through the air. There's only two ways you can be out. We play now. And I make before we get my best. That's the difficult. And it's always wrong, like the umpire's wrong. So, this is the second way we can do that. So, whenever you hit it, try to not hit it at somebody so they can catch it. Oh, I can do that. And that hurts. And it carries on like that. Now it becomes fun. And as we go, I will tell you different things as we keep on playing this game. Okay, we only throw six balls from a side, then we switch sides. Then somebody else throws from this side to that chair. And if you hit it far enough over the ground, it's 4 points, four runs. If you hit it through the air to the end, like a home run, it's six runs. Oh, it's fun. Oh, I like this game. I don't know what the game is in my life, but it's a fun game. Now you want to play. And I think you will learn that it actually is a fun game. And that's why it's the sport with the second most fans in the world. You know that? Guess how many fans? 2.5 billion cricket fans in the world. Now there's 2.5 billion and one. Now you like it as well. You want to guess what the sport with the most fans in the world is? Soccer, how many? Oh, you're good. 4 billion, just under 4 billion. Want to guess hockey? How many fans like hockey across the world? Anybody? It hasn't even made the top 10. You want to guess the people? It's not even up there. So, the list for the top 10 in the 10th place is golf, 450 million. There's 9 times more people watching and playing and liking golf than hockey. Never sell this in Canadian. So we will just, on the recording, we will just cut that out. So, sorry, I didn't, but I didn't want to mention it. Fucking 15 minutes. But see, if you introduce somebody to a specific sport like in this way, have them experience it, have fun, little bits at a time. It's fun. But just teaching them the rules, that's okay.
The number won't change to 2.5, from 2.5 million to 2.5 million a month. If you recite the rules, kind of like the way I did.
So what do we need? We need boosters. So today we get into the second part, which is
the game.
Boosters. And what do boosters do? What do boosters do? According to the NCAA website, National Collegiate Athletics Association, the role of boosters is looking after the well-being and lifelong success of that specific athletic department. Boosters play a role in providing student athletes, the players, with a positive experience through their enthusiastic efforts. This is the definition from the NCAA. They can support teams and athletic departments through donations of time and financial resources, which help the student athletes succeed on and off the playing field. Boosters are referred to by the NCAA as the representatives of the institution's athletic interests. And it includes anyone who has participated in or has been a member of an organization promoting that specific athletics program, that has been promoting that game at that place. Anybody who made financial contributions to that athletic program. It is somebody who has assisted themselves or has been requested by the staff and the coaches to assist in the recruitment of prospective student athletes.
And then there's a broad definition for it all.
Also on the website, they have been involved otherwise in promoting university athletics of that sport. That's boosters. That is what the sport boosters do. We're looking at the metaphor of the game. So if we ever want to keep on playing the game, if we ever want our game, with the disclaimer, to go on, the game of following Jesus with all your heart, if we ever want this game to go on, if we want to keep on playing the game, we need players. If we want more players, we need boosters to go get them. So let's turn to our scripture reading this morning. The Great Commission, last words of the Gospel according to Matthew. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations. Teach them everything I have taught you. Go and get them into the game. Go and make them part of this. Teach them the game you love so much. Become my boosters. And then the promise follows. You will not be doing this alone. I will be with you. Until the very end, until the final whistle, until the game ends and we meet face to face in heaven. But until then, go and get people into the game. We call this the Great Commission. That's the big one. That's our big job. Go be boosters. Get things into the game. Of course, with the disclaimer.
I want to hear you say by now, it is not just the game.
Go and get people into the game. Who can introduce new players to the game? Who can teach people how to play? Who can teach the rules when they eventually start playing? Because after all, the rules are for the players once they start playing. So who can teach the rules? to the new planet. Who can teach the final answers, the secrets of the game, more so than an experienced player? Somebody that's been playing this game forever. Disciples make disciples. Jesus said, go and make disciples and teach them everything that I have taught you. Go and teach them everything that you have learned from me. You have been my disciples. You have seen me at work. You have seen me showing you the heart of God. You have seen me love people, heal people, restore people. You have learned to trust me enough to bet your life on it. You have come to believe that I am who I say I am, that I've done what I came here to do. You have come to believe that you are what God says you are. You have become disciples. And this is the things that I've taught you. This is the things that you have made your own. Now, go and pass it on. Go and do to someone as I have done to you. Make them my disciples. Make them my followers. Go and be my ministers. Present me to them in such a way that they cannot be anything else but curious. And when they become curious on what is going on, keep on presenting me to them as I really am. So that they also cannot help but start loving me. So that they cannot help but start trusting me. So that they cannot help but start to believe in me. Here's how I got into playing pickleball. I was the youngest pickleball player around. But how did I get into playing pickleball of all things? I never knew the game existed. I never knew about a game like that. I went to play volleyball at the high school in a double gym. Got there, didn't start yet. Didn't start the next week. I heard this funny noise from the gym next door. But the funny, and it's a hollow noise. And it's a weird noise. So what game is that? So I went next door to the other gym. I looked in, and of course, tennis net. I looked down the corridor, and it looked like a tennis net. And they had cords, but smaller. And then I saw some of the people running around, and even funny whistle balls I've seen. And as I was looking in, someone said, hi, and I said, hi. And so he said, what's this? He said, pickleball. What's pickleball? Like tennis? He said, no. But they were friendly, and they explained to me a little bit quickly, what is it? Do you want to play? I've never played in my life, never seen it. Nope. No, come on. Play a game with us. No, I can't play. That's fine. We don't care. I play. I don't have a paddle. It's fine. We can load. I can't have a paddle. And they got me on a court, starting to play. And as we played, they started explaining the rules to me. Yeah, you can do this, you can go there, this is a place in the court, you know, allowing you to be a teacher. But anyway, they explained the rules to me as I went, very patiently. And I kept on forgetting them. I kept on stepping in the kitchen and kept on not letting the ball bounce in the children. Very patiently after the boring thing, just remember. Now I love it. I like the game. Something. Didn't have a clue what it was. I had a clue what I was doing. Just same with the badminton. I went to play badminton. Same here on Thursday. I know what it is. I've seen it. At the Summer Olympics. Heard it at the Summer Olympics. And I went there to. I was curious to find out if I would like it. So I went there to stop playing. Not play for the life. But I start playing with them. So patient, explaining the rules and what to do and where to stand. Didn't like it that much as pickleball, so every now and then I might make a mistake. I'm going to show up once in 4 or 5 weeks. But in the meantime, I get emails from them. asking how I am and telling me they miss me at badminton and it's still at the same time, same gym. I keep on getting these emails directed to me. It's not to send out anybody. Remember, we started playing a game. They want me to come and play. And you know what they all did in those badminton, the people who won badminton? They paired me up with more experienced players. So when I started playing both of them, they put me with the best player. So I was the worst one. So they put me with the best one. And put some players in them. And later on, they would play with me against other experienced players. At first, we played against players that weren't as good. Later on, I said, let's send them off. The more experienced players. And they kept on getting me deeper and deeper into the game. And they didn't want to overwhelm me at first. That's how they got into it. It's just the same fighting, so patient, the same rules as well. But first, they just got me in there to stop them. And that's what we need to do. With the disclaimer, it's not just a game. That's what we need to do. We need to be boosters for this game that we make. Representatives of the institutions supporting interests from the NCAA. We need to be representatives of this game's interests. This game with this game. This game of following Jesus with my whole heart. We need to be representatives of this game. We need to be boosters of the game called following Jesus with your whole heart. And it's on us to make the game attractive. It's on us to create curiosity. It's on us to make the introduction to the game. It's on us to extend the invitation. It's on us to get people excited about the game. It's on us to be worthy representatives of the ethos of this game called following. It's on us to welcome players showing interest. It's on us to be patient with the new players. It's on us guiding the new players as they get used to this game called following Jesus. It's on us to pair them up with the experienced ones. It's on us to provide encouragement when this game gets tough. Because it does get tough. We've played long enough to know. But then it's on us as the boosters to provide the encouragement to the new players. Because we are the boosters. We have been part of this game for a long time. And how long this game will still be played partially depends on us and our efforts. God will protect his church. That's a promise of scripture. But it's partly on us to keep going as well. Because we got the Great Commission. We got the job. Go and teach people what you know. Go and introduce them to this game that you love so much. So we are the boosters. And how long this game is still being played. And how long this game is still being played in Wingham